Welcome to the weekend, and welcome to another hour of the Andy Slater Show on this Friday, September 16th. I am very happy to have you along for the ride today. The Miami Dolphins and the University of Miami, they're both on the road, and that actually works out perfectly because so am I. They're going to Baltimore and College Station. Me, I'm doing the show from lovely Medellin,
Colombia!
And I am loving football season so far. I hope you are too. I love that there was a game last night, a really interesting game. The Chiefs hang on to beat the Chargers, so let the Tua to Mahomes and Tua to Justin Herbert comparisons go wild. People have a field day with that. But it was a really entertaining football game. Plus, I had the Chargers in my 13th annual football pick'em challenge. So I'm off to a 1-0 start for the first time in like 2 years. So that made last night even that much better. And that was just a little appetizer. Not even an appetizer. It was like, okay, sit down and have some water. Here's some water. Because we're getting more football tomorrow. Then we're getting the full slate of games on Sunday in the NFL. And then we get not one, but we get two games on Monday night. When you hear that music, it's just, it's such a great feeling. Football is here, and we're only getting to week two. We have so much football left. I know South Florida football fans are excited right now. The Canes are 2-0. They're about to take on Texas A&M primetime matchup. Dolphins fans, you like the way that game went Sunday, beating Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. So there's a lot to be excited about. The state of football in Miami right now, let me emphasize again, right now, is good. But you know, I keep it real here on this program. This show has always been and will continue to be all about
honesty.
Well, I have a feeling, and I'm comfortable saying this, when I talk to you guys on Monday, I just don't think that both Mario Cristobal and Mike McDaniel will be undefeated. I hope they are, but I just have a feeling that's not going to be the case. Heck, if you put the two of them together, you put them in a parlay, your odds there, I haven't done it myself, but it's probably close to 7-1, something in that range, 6-1, 6-1 odds. That's just a guess off the top of my head that the Dolphins and Canes will both remain unbeaten when I talk to you guys on Monday. Now, again, I hope they are unbeaten. I hope somebody does get paid 6-1 on that parlay or whatever it's going to be. But because the odds and common sense would tell you that when I'm speaking to you on Monday, not both of them will be unbeaten anymore, I'll say enjoy this moment. Enjoy this moment right now as it stands, because we're loving life around South Florida football-wise. Mario Cristobal and Mike McDaniel, we are buying everything they are selling right now. Neither of them have lost a game. But by Monday, that's likely going to change for at least one of them. Hopefully not both of them. Hopefully not any of them. But again, being realistic, most likely that's going to change. Hopefully, though, we won't have anybody freaking out if the Canes or Dolphins lose. Just like everyone was freaking out about last night, and I gave everyone here a heads up multiple times about the game being on Amazon Prime. I don't know why people were freaking out. I'm all over Twitter last night seeing people completely freak out, like as if it came from the year 4059 or something. Some people have never streamed a show before. Like, a lot of people don't have Amazon. I really didn't think it was that big of a deal. And I thought Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit, they were great. it was football. It was a real game. It's the National Football League. I didn't have any trouble finding it. I've got an Amazon Prime account. I order things all the time and have things shipped to my house for free. And now you get football included in that and so many other things. So for me, it was fine. I think people just want to complain about anything. And when the Miami Dolphins are on it very soon, in a few weeks, it will also be broadcast on regular TV in South Florida. So if you don't want to use Amazon Prime, okay, don't use it. I saw some people that are just against Amazon Prime and they don't want to ever order anything from Amazon. I'm not telling you have to. You get your own choice. You just like I don't tell you who to vote for, I don't tell you what to use. I think the only thing I'm an advocate for is you should watch 90 Day Fiancé and Big Brother. Other than, and of course, go to the great restaurants that I go to. But as far as what you're going to buy, what you're going to purchase, I never tell you, you've got to buy this. Absolutely not. I don't tell you got to buy a ticket to go see the Marlins. And at the same time, I never say don't go buy a ticket. So it's your money. Do whatever you want with it and have your own beliefs. No problem. I'm just telling you what I do. And all these streaming services, I mean, they're printing money. What type of live programming can we run? That's what they're all thinking about. Something that people won't want to record. People want to watch something in real time on a streaming service. And the NFL is one of them, or any sport. Like I said yesterday, it's going on with Major League Baseball now on Friday nights. It's going on with Major League Soccer full time next year. So when TV rights deals come up, just like they did in the NFL, Roger Goodell, did somebody think he was going to turn down big money? He was going for the richest people he could find and ask for the most money possible. That's his job. So Amazon, they could afford to pay a lot of money for football. And there's a reason Bezos was sitting right next to Roger Goodell in the box. Well, not one bit of it bothers me. If you don't like the games on Prime, well, I mean, do you not like calling Uber rather than a cab? Some people want to take taxis. I don't know. To me, times change. Things evolve. Now you can watch football on your phone with perfect picture and sound, and you can do it from anywhere in the world. I didn't just discover this. I've been doing my show from all over the world for years now, and I'm able to watch everything and follow everything and continue to do a South Florida sports show, even though I'm not in Miami every single day. Plus, you guys want to come along with me. And some of you, you can get on that plane. And others, you just follow me on Instagram and I post pictures and videos and do the best I possibly can to make it feel like you're here. And if you want to go to my IG, just search Andy Slater and you'll see all the pictures from all over the world pop up. Mainly food and views. Anyhow, I just don't know how anybody could be super upset about what's going on with technology. It's kind of like that meme. I think it's Grandpa Homer Simpson. That gif. Not a meme, a gif. I get confused. Meme, gif. But an old man is yelling at the cloud. That's kind of the way it feels. Not an iCloud. Of course not. Just a regular cloud. I don't want Dolphins fans yelling on Sunday. I don't want Canes fans yelling tomorrow night. I'm not going to be yelling. I never really yell here on the program. I used to have a co-host who yelled all the time. The amigo, Larry Million. Good dude, though. Good heart. I have a lot to discuss when it comes to the Dolphins. I have a lot to talk about when it comes to the Canes. I have a lot to talk about in general, but I can't until this hour officially begins.
It's time to shuffle up and deal.
So here's what the Miami Dolphins need to do on Sunday. Sure, they got to win a football game, but they need to protect Tua. And I'm not saying from himself. I'm not saying that they need to have a super conservative game plan. I'm just saying that with Teron Armstead on the injury report listed as questionable, and Austin Jackson now going on the short-term IR. Well, you saw what happened in last night's game if you had Amazon Prime or you watched the highlights. The Chiefs D, they were teeing off on Justin Herbert. And Herbert is bigger and stronger than Tua. So the Miami Dolphins have got to protect Tua if they're going to have any chance in Baltimore. It's really that simple. This is a winnable game for Miami. And I know the players believe that. They hop on that 747, head to Baltimore. They do believe they can come back with a W. They beat Lamar Jackson last year. The Dolphins defense, they had a great plan to neutralize him. And I don't think there's any question on the offensive side of the ball that they're better than they were last year. So if you have a good plan on D and your offense is better, you should be able to win the football game. But I know there's conditions there with Baltimore too, such as Lamar being on the contract year, and I'm sure he wants to show out. But here's the thing. The Dolphins offense, they can be better than last year. I believe we all think they're better than last year. But the key word is can. They have better players. They got one of the most electric players in the game, Tyreek Hill. When you look at the Dolphins roster offensively, they're a track team. Tyreek, Jalen, Raheem Mostert, Chase Edmonds. There is so much speed on that Miami offense. So Tua should theoretically be a better QB this season. All of this should happen. It can happen, and it should happen. The Miami Dolphins should go up against Baltimore on Sunday with a much better offense than they had last time against them. We saw what Miami just did against New England. Here it is Friday, and I'm still not over that game because it's our only sample. The Dolphins' offense, they didn't show too much, did they? Other than that one play, which was fantastic, and that play to Waddle, that was the difference in the game. Now, it's important to keep in mind that last week the Dolphins were playing the score and situation a bit. At least I think so. Miami knew that New England was limited offensively, and they also knew that New England couldn't make any explosive plays. So as I see it, other than the 4th-and-7 call, I thought the Dolphins' offense was a bit conservative relative to their talent. And I look at that now as a good thing. Because if I told you last week the Dolphins, they emptied their playbook. They put it all out there last week. And they walked away with one offensive TD. I think Dolphins fans would be concerned. Like, wow, that's it? That's all we've got? We gave everything we had, and we only got one touchdown on offense. So it's a good thing that they didn't empty their playbook. I don't think they showed much at all. Clearly, there's more there for this Dolphins team. There's a lot of meat left on that bone. I think that's the third time I've said that this week. I'm getting hungry. I need a steak. Going up against Lamar Jackson this week in the Ravens home opener, the Dolphins are going to need a lot more on offense. A lot. This is just a week where more is going to be required from this Dolphins team. If they get a big lead, the Dolphins, that is, they can't just bleed the clock. Because Lamar Jackson, he can make a big, quick, dynamic play in a matter of seconds. Mike McDaniel himself described Lamar's playmaking as shock and awe. McDaniel said that the Dolphins cannot replicate Lamar Jackson when they're practicing. There's just something that comes out on Sunday where whatever Lamar is going to do that they can't replicate during the week, they're just going to have to deal with it. And that is why it is so important to protect Tua. Because this is a game that he can win. If he's given a little amount of time, he can win this football game. I really appreciate that the Dolphins forced the ball to Tyreek a lot last week. Touches by Tyreek Hill, that's a great thing. But now, this Sunday and moving forward, I think Tyreek needs more quality touches. It's like in basketball. Yeah, you want your best player to take a lot of shots, but you'd like it even more if that player was going to get good shots off. So that entails giving Tua a little bit more time, letting something develop. It doesn't necessarily have to be a deep ball. I'm not looking for Tua to throw the ball 75 yards in the air. That's not what I'm asking for, and it's not what I'm looking for. I want to see Mike McDaniel scheme something up to where Tyreek is going to get the ball with some room to operate. Because once Tyreek does that in a Dolphins uniform, it's going to be a lot of fun. That's where this team's speed really will pay off. And I don't think we saw that in week one. We saw Jaylen Waddle once. One play, he had a crease, and that was it. He was gone. Tyreek Hill, we know he can do that. Cedric Wilson can do that. Raheem Mostert can do that. It's really amazing. When you look up and down the Dolphins roster, they were clearly built with this idea of speed in mind. That's where their talent lies. They don't really have big, strong, physical wide receivers. They got blazers, all of them. Now the question is, can those receivers with the speed, can they be properly deployed? And I'm also excited Sunday to continue to watch the Miami Dolphins safeties in action because they won week one. The interception by Javon Holland, the forced fumble by Brandon Jones, the scoop and score, and finally, Kader Kuhu with the forced fumble to end it. For a unit that is supposed to be hurting without Byron Jones, the Dolphins secondary as a unit, they were the stars in week one. So what are they going to be able to do for an encore? That unit is becoming fun to watch. For all the talk during training camp, and I was on them as well, hearing everything, most people were saying that the back of the Dolphins defense was going to be a problem for them, and I'm part of most people. But one week in, it seems like we were all wrong.
You're just a big bowl of wrong.
However, now that test, it is going to get much harder. I also think as the season goes on, and as New England plays more and more games, people are going to realize just how bad this Patriots team really is. And also how important it was for the Dolphins to get that week one win. Because in a conference that's full of heavyweights, New England, I don't think they're one of them this year at all. So the Dolphins could not afford to drop their first game. And at the end of the season, Baltimore could be a team that the Dolphins are fighting for a playoff spot with. So we could come back to this game this coming Sunday, to that moment, and go, okay, these two teams are battling for a spot, and this is the game head-to-head that they played, and it could be super important. So the Miami Dolphins should approach it in that way. This is a very important game. It's week two, but it's very important. And then the other reality is, waiting in the wings for the Dolphins is a date with Josh Allen. Whether the Dolphins win, lose, or draw, Josh Allen is coming to Hard Rock Stadium next week, and this dude has owned Miami. The Bills, they're stacked beyond stacked. They're the class, not just of the AFC East, but the conference and perhaps the entire league. So getting a win on Sunday in Baltimore, going to 2-0 before having to deal with Josh Allen and the Bills, that would be so huge. Otherwise, a loss and suddenly the Dolphins are 1-1 with Josh Allen waiting for them. And then things won't be so light around here. All of that fun talk and Mike McDaniel is great and the Dolphins are going to be really good, all of that talk will be settled down by a pretty big margin. And speaking of a big margin, the savings you'll get if you go to the Costa Rica Dental Team, if you need dental work done, the Costa Rica Dental Team will save you 50 to 70% when compared to U.S. dental prices. That is a fortune you'll save by visiting the Costa Rica Dental Team. I have been to the Costa Rica Dental Team many times myself, so I could tell you firsthand, the work and the staff at the Costa Rica Dental Team, absolutely top-notch. Maybe you need crowns, implants, veneers, whatever dental work you need done, the Costa Rica Dental Team, they are going to take great care of you and save you so much money. Check it out for yourself. Visit CostaRicaDentalTeam.com. That's CostaRicaDentalTeam.com. Inquire about their pricing, and then you could start planning your Costa Rica dental vacation later today. So the University of Miami football team, they're on their way to College Station, Texas. And yesterday, they got the worst possible injury news. Well, I guess it's not the worst possible, but it's pretty bad. Look, I'm excited for the Canes game tomorrow night, and I think it's going to be a ton of fun getting to see how they will stack up against Texas A&M and against Jimbo and that crowd that'll be there, two top 25 teams. But of all the injuries for them to have going into this game, number 7 going down, such an unfortunate one with Restrepo. Xavier Restrepo is their most important wide receiver. This is the dude who Tyler Van Dyke trusts the most. He's the leader in receptions and yards. And as a wide receiver unit, Restrepo was supposed to supply the leadership and stability. And now he's out. So who's going to step up? That's really the most important question for the Canes right now. Tyler Van Dyke is the Canes' best player. And he's as talented as any QB in the country, I would say. But if TVD doesn't have reliable receivers to go to, there's not much he can do. And Restrepo, he was his most reliable guy. I'm not saying that Miami lacks talent at wideout. If you go up and down the roster, there's guys who are definitely capable. But there's a difference between being talented and being capable or dependable. All offseason, one of the biggest stories around UM, it was the drops. The receivers, they were having a tough time catching the football. And now, because of injury, you take away the dude who was best at it, and it happens right before this really tough road game against an SEC school. It's just so difficult to get that news. Now, it would help if the Canes' running game could get cooking, because they've been good the first few weeks. Rooster's supposed to be healthy this week, and he's a huge threat. If they could pound the ball a little bit, that sure would relax Tyler Van Dyke. It would take some pressure off of the other guys, because if they can't do it and TVD is looking at third and long and the crowd is going nuts and he doesn't have a receiver who he truly, truly trusts out there, that could turn into some really tough sledding for him. That is not the player the Canes needed to go down right now, Restrepo, and he has. So it's terrible news heading into this contest tomorrow night. Miami could win. Yeah, they could overcome all of that. There could be some receiver that I'm not talking about or no one's talking about, and that receiver could emerge, and this could be the breakout opportunity for him. Last year, remember, it was all about De'Arik King heading into the season. He got hurt, and then boom, Tyler Van Dyke is the quarterback, and not many people had really known about Tyler Van Dyke, and all of a sudden, he's out there and he's a stud. So, next man up, that is a real thing. That's not just coach speak, next man up. But when you're heading into a really difficult game, that's not an ideal time to have the next man up. They don't have a choice now. Other receivers, they're going to have to make an impact. Turnovers is another area where the Canes could really use some help against A&M. If they're able to force a few turnovers, shorten the field, get some easier points, that would be huge. Given that their offense isn't 100% going into this game, yeah, there's going to be ways to make up for it, and turnovers certainly would be one of them. Regardless, though, this game is going to be fun, and I'm looking forward to it. Even though it is a big challenge for UM, and it definitely is a tough game, I do expect tomorrow night to be fun. A 9 p.m. kickoff, national spotlight, two good teams, a wild crowd. It's going to be rocking. And for UM, this is such a step up in competition. When you look at week one and week two, Bethune-Cookman, Southern Miss, now on the road, prime time, against Texas A&M. It's nice to get a couple of cupcakes under your belt where you're able to work on some of the operational stuff. But tomorrow night is the first true test of the entire Mario Cristobal era in Miami. This is their first road game with him, and this does have the potential to be special, or at the very least, interesting. I've said it many times, and a lot of people have said it. This is the measuring stick game, not only for the Canes, but for Mario. They're either going to get one of two outcomes. Either they're going to win, which is awesome, or they're going to see just how far they have to go to be able to play with the big boys. And I'm well aware that App State beat the Aggies, but the truth is,
I want the truth!
Upsets do happen. This is a quality SEC team, and they have a good coach. And he's been recruiting several years there. Mario needs to know where the Canes stack up, and this is a great way to find out. And it can be instructive, too. This really could be about teaching the rest of the year. Look, if this is where we fall short, or even bigger picture, for recruiting, looking at yourself saying, hey, our line is too small, go watch the Aggies on video, we need to get bigger, stronger dudes up front. Or you could look at this game and say, hey, we couldn't catch the ball, we need more receivers. Whatever the lesson might be, the Canes, if they do not win, they'll be able to get it tomorrow night. They will be able to learn a lot from this contest. I am just looking forward to watching it. And if Texas A&M does beat UM, and they're a 6.5-point favorite right now, so UM is the underdog. So if A&M does beat the Canes, I hope we don't get any of these national shows on TV or all over the internet, the AP or whoever it may be, saying A&M upsets the Canes because A&M's ranked 24th and the Canes are ranked 13th. We don't calculate upsets by the AP poll or the USA Today college coaches poll. We calculate upsets by what the line in the game is. So yes, the Canes are ranked 13th and A&M is ranked 24th, but A&M is a 6.5-point favorite. So if the Canes win this game, that would be an upset. Yes, 13 upsets 24. That's just the way it works. Sportsbooks determine what an upset is, not a poll. Speaking of a poll, though, you could see gorgeous girls, dancing on the poles and surrounding you at Dean's Gold, the ultimate gentleman's club. There is no gentleman's club in South Florida like Dean's Gold, and you will see that for yourself the minute you walk in the doors. Dean's Gold is the ultimate gentleman's club for a reason, and that's because they have beautiful ladies who come from all over the world. So many different countries are represented at Dean's Gold, and you could be surrounded by these gorgeous women. Dean's Gold is open 7 days a week from 8 p.m. all the way until 6 in the morning. So if you want to go tonight on a Friday, you want to go Sunday, Tuesday, anytime, Dean's Gold and the women there are going to be waiting for you. Dean's Gold, the ultimate gentleman's club, is located on the northeast corner of Northeast 163rd Street and Biscayne Boulevard. That's in North Miami Beach. Have yourself a fantastic time. You will. surround yourself with beautiful ladies from all over the world. There's only one place in South Florida you could do that. Only one building. It's the Ultimate Gentleman's Club, Dean's Gold. My 13th annual football pick'em challenge going on right now on my site, SlaterScoops.com. We go against the spread, and I'm 1-0 to begin the week. I'm so happy about that. Maybe I'll win this week. So whoever does finish first for the week gets a $100 gift card to Joe's Stone Crab in Miami Beach. And Stone Crab season is just 1 month away. I can't wait for that. Go against the spread, not some Mickey Mouse, just straight up pick 'em. Be in my 13th annual football pick 'em challenge. Go to my site, SlaterScoops.com. It's never too late to sign up because of that weekly prize. And whoever gets the most wins against the spread after 18 weeks of football, they will get the grand prize. And the grand prize is a trip for two to Costa Rica, all thanks to the Costa Rica Dental Team. We have fantastic prizes. It's in its 13th year. Don't miss out. Be part of my 13th annual football pick'em challenge going on right now on my site, SlaterScoops.com. So I don't know who you guys are taking for tomorrow night and Sunday afternoon, but my gut tells me if I had to choose which of the two coaches is going to have a blemish on their record on Monday, my guess would be Mario Cristobal. Maybe the Canes cover, but as far as a W or an L, if I had to pick one, I would pick Mario and the Canes, especially without Restrepo. I just feel that the Canes are more likely to lose at Texas A&M than the Dolphins are at Baltimore. I have some hidden confidence on the defensive side for the Dolphins based on last year's performance that they're not going to be scared of Lamar. That doesn't mean that Lamar's not going to go off on them, but I don't think they're going to be scared of him. So I feel like the Dolphins do have a chance in that one. But for the Canes to go into College Station and you're limited at wideout, Texas A&M is coming off of a loss, I just feel like it's going to be an overwhelming night. At least the result will be for them. I hope I'm wrong. I hope the Canes can run the ball down their throats and win the game. But I just feel like it's going to be really tough for them. So that's why everyone should enjoy this moment. You're a South Florida football fan. Enjoy the moment right now. Everything is positive. Everyone has a good feeling. Nobody's questioning any of the blueprints. Not for UM, not for the Dolphins. It was just one big, hey, we made the right hire fest. That's what we're at right now, all around. But as we know, things change very quickly. And the tone of the conversation, at some point, it's going to change. Someone is going to be at blame. It always happens. So for this little slice of time when it's all good and everyone's happy and everyone's been winning, let's acknowledge that before it changes. It's kind of like when the Heat and Panthers were both having their playoff run. I'm here on the air, and I'm just loving everything that's going on. We're talking about win, win, win. Both teams are on these great runs. But we knew at some point one or both of them would come crashing back down to earth. But for that pocket of time, it was fun. And I feel like this is another fun little pocket. And with both Miami teams going on the road, both of them being dogs, well, the chances are, by the time I talk to you on Monday, talking Miami football will feel a little bit different. But I hope not. So while you can't wager on football legally in Florida, you can wager on what's going on at Gulfstream Park. And that's exciting racing action in our own backyard in Hollandale Beach. Live racing at Gulfstream Park every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You can go on out to Gulfstream and go to their trackside restaurant just like I do, 10 Palms. You sit down, you get a table, you have a nice meal, you watch the races live right in front of you. You could wager on them. 10 or 20 cents could get you thousands of dollars. I see it happen all of the time. If you're going to go to the trackside restaurant, I highly suggest you make a reservation. Visit GulfstreamPark.com for all of the information and details and get on out there, especially any live race day, today on a Friday, tomorrow Saturday, or even on Sunday. It's the Royal Palm Meet live racing going on right now at Gulfstream Park. I always watch WPLG Local 10, and I see Clay Ferraro on TV. I saw him last night. Even though I'm here in Medellin, I'm getting the local channels. Clay, you know, you've got a lot of big fans here in Medellin because you're all over television. Did you know that?
Oh, so you were the one.
Well, my friend, too. There's two of us.
Okay. Well, that's good. Man, that doubles my usual ratings for my sports cast. So that's fantastic. I'm glad to hear that.
Clay, I was just talking to the audience about what it's going to feel like Monday when I come back on the airwaves. The Dolphins and the Canes both on the road. To you, who's got a better chance of being victorious?
Man, that's a great question. You're supposed to like give me this stuff ahead of time.
Well, come so on, you expect softballs here?
I guess I'm leaning Dolphins because I think you go back to week one, and I think there are some things that the Dolphins can still clean up. And look, it's not like the Canes don't have some things that they need to clean up. They obviously came out really slowly against Southern Miss. But I think the fact that A&M lost, and that's an extremely talented team and a young team that may have needed a cold dose of reality early in the season, plus the loss of Xavier Restrepo is big. So that's a tough one for the Canes. Look, Dolphins, it's certainly not going to be easy. And yet, you know, I've had a few people asking me about Tyreek Hill. You know, why didn't you get him more explosive plays in that first game? Bill Belichick has made his career off of taking away what other teams do best. And it felt like in that game, he didn't want to let Tyreek Hill beat him. And, you know, Tyreek Hill made some plays, but he didn't make the big, gigantic, explosive. But what you saw was him opening up things for other guys. I say all that because I expect him to have a big game this time around, a much bigger game than he did in game one. And if he busts a couple of big ones, then there's your chance if you're the Dolphins of pulling off an upset in Baltimore.
So let's stick with the Dolphins for a moment in Baltimore. Clay, do you think maybe they open it up a little bit more, that they, against New England, were kind of looking at the Patriots offense saying, hey, we don't have to really do a whole lot? How did you view that?
Maybe as the game went on, but I do think that as Tyreek Hill is the focal point of other teams' defenses, you're going to have to take what the defense gives you. And in that sense, I thought the Dolphins did a good job of taking what the Patriots were giving them. And also, yeah, there was an element of, we don't need to push the ball downfield unnecessarily when, you know, we've got the lead and it's pretty clear the Patriots are having trouble moving the ball. Now, with all that said, they did go for it on 4th and 7 at midfield and score a touchdown. And that was really the difference the difference in how the game was played from there on out. So I think it's, yes, I do think that's part of it. I also think part of it was how New England was defending them. And I fully expect that if Baltimore tries to play it a little more level across the board, then you could see some more shots downfield and especially trying to cut Tyreek Hill loose.
Clay, I've said, I don't know how many times this week, a comparison when talking about Lamar Jackson contract year to Aaron Judge. And I know you're a big time Yankees fan too. Do you feel that Lamar Jackson is just going to go off this season, kind of like Aaron Judge is for the Yankees?
I don't know about that. I think it's a different sport. And, you know, the thing with Lamar Jackson is, like, what's going off relative to what he's already done? I mean, dude won the MVP, and he's so good. So I think with him, if he has a big year, and it's a big year, not just statistically, but also one where he starts to have that maturity process that a quarterback, as they grow into the role, has. I wouldn't attribute it to the contract. I would attribute it to the natural progression of a quarterback. You know, and you can look across the league at a lot of these guys, and a lot of them will have big statistical years, first couple of years, 3 years. And then after that, it's okay, how do you adjust to what the other guys are doing? And I think there was an adjustment period where defenses started to take away what Lamar Jackson did well. And we saw it down here at Hard Rock last year in that Thursday night game. So if Lamar Jackson has a big year, I wouldn't say it's because of the contract. I would say it's because, hey, he's gone to work and he's done what a lot of other quarterbacks have done who have faced kind of walls early in their career. Is it's a league where guys adjust to you, and how you adjust back determines if you succeed moving forward.
Do you think, though, Aaron Judge, I got to bring this up. I mean, do you not see Aaron Judge having the year that he is because of his contract and the status?
Hey, possibly. Again, I think it's two different sports. And
well, it is.
I also don't know, I think the one thing, and you know this, Andy, the longer you're in this, motivational stuff kind of wears off after the first few minutes. If it's a game, who is it? Mike Tyson says everybody has a plan until you punch him in the mouth. And I think you see a lot of that where, man, teams and players can be super fired up for the first few minutes, but then after that, it comes down to your preparation and your focus. And I also think, look, Judge is a guy who he's been healthy. I think that's extremely important. And I don't think it's a coincidence that as he's healthy, not only is he getting more at bats to be able to do this, but he's swinging the bat healthier. That, like, I think that is as big, if not a bigger role, is playing a bigger role in his season than just wanting a bigger contract.
We got about 90 seconds to go. Clay Ferrero from WPLG Local 10 with us here on the Andy Slater Show. Clay, what, without Restrepo going on the road, what do the Canes really need to do in your estimation to get this W?
Run the football. And look, that's what we saw last weekend, by the way, with App State. Because I was watching that game. You had them both on, and as App State was kind of grinding Texas A&M, I think by the end of the game, the time of possession was 2-1 in favor of App State. And I was talking to our producer, David Lang, about this the other day. I said, the one thing that you're not likely to see with the Hurricanes under Mario Cristobal is them lose these games to teams like Southern Miss, where if they start slowly, they're not going to get away from the running game. And by the third, fourth quarter, you hope that you're wearing the other guys out. And so I think they have to have a similar game plan against A&M that App State did. Now, much different offense. But you want that power running game, and you want to get to the third and fourth quarter, have this be a close game. And much like what that Aggies defense was looking like last week, you want them to be exhausted, and you want to be able to run right over them.
Well, Clay, we'll really be able to find out where UM is just by going on Twitter at some point, right? That'll be the gauge.
But check like every 2 minutes. I mean, after the first 5 minutes, everybody was ready to fire Mario Cristobal again last week. So, and Tyler Van Dyke apparently forgot how to play football too, according to Twitter. So,
Clay Ferrero from WPLG Local 10, thanks for the time, man. Enjoy your football weekend, buddy.
Take care, brother.
All right, you too. All right, that's all the time I have for this Friday afternoon. I hope all of you enjoy your football weekend. I certainly will. For now, I'm Andy Slater, and I'll see you later.